It worked. Good morning. Well, in the past week, when did you make a choice? I think I'm going to cause some heartbreak. I think I'm going to upset myself or somebody else. Like, never, right? We try hard not to upset each other. And we often choose paths that we hope will take us away from heartbreak, and yet heartbreak happens anyway. Well, so last week you were told we were done with Habakkuk. I thought we were done with Habakkuk too. But then I thought about it afterwards, after listening to Tony's sermon, and I thought, you know, even though we know that Habakkuk managed to, he started with his anger and his upset and his, God, it's not supposed to be like this. Come on. Can't you do something? Why aren't you doing anything? But at the end, he was praising God. How did he get from being so upset, so angry, get through his heartbreak, get through his lament, to actually standing in awe of God? And I thought that was something that would be worth looking at. If you have a Bible with cross references in the margin, and you look up the book of Habakkuk, you'll find that there are lots of cross references to different parts of Scripture. Habakkuk knew his Bible, I think. We find Exodus, we find 1 Samuel, Psalms, Proverbs, Lamentations, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and there's probably more places where what is said in the book of Habakkuk is said elsewhere in Scripture. And I think that it's because Habakkuk knew what had been written before his time. And I also think that that's the key to how Habakkuk got from anger to praise. So I think that it's worth taking time to look at that whole topic of reading the Bible. There are many ways that we can know what the Bible says. We can read it, right? Just pick up the book, open the pages. But we can also listen. I can't see what it says at the back. There are audio Bibles. You can find them online or you can find them on CD. And hey, next week, there's the details. There's your announcement, Chris. And we can watch. We can watch things like the Bible Project little videos, or we can watch things like The Chosen. And we just need to remember that if we're watching an artistic rendering, that we need to actually separate, what's been put into for the benefit of the purpose of the storyteller and what actually comes out of Scripture. And then we put it on repeat, because reading the Bible, taking in the Bible once isn't going to, it's not that it won't help, but we need the repetition to help us remember. And if you think about Habakkuk, you know, I can tell you that at the beginning of that three chapters, at the beginning of the book, Habakkuk raged at God, and one of his complaints was, look, even the law is broken. You gave us the law, and it's not doing what it's supposed to. God answered. He said, Habakkuk, I am doing something. Watch. The vision is going to come. Trust me. And in the last book, in the last chapter, Habakkuk is able to articulate his desire and his willingness to trust God in the biggest heartache that he can imagine and still praise God. I know, God, that you know what you're doing, even if it doesn't make any sense to me. Well, you know, we have all this in English, but what if your heart language isn't English? Well, there are translations, and there are translations online, and you can take translation software. One day, I took the devotion that Chris had written, and I put it into translation software, and there it was in, I think it was Kurmanji I might have chosen, because I happened to know some Kurmanji speakers. And, you know, if you speak another language and there isn't a translation in the language you speak, there's even free software where you can, you know, make your own translation. So when we read, what are the results? I want to remind you first of my story. A few months ago, I shared how the last few years have been quite hard for me, and how in my heartbreak, I froze. And what thawed me was, first of all, a friend offered some help, and it reminded me that I wasn't alone in my situation, that God did see me. And then I listened to a talk that reminded me not only did God see me, but that he's with me in my circumstances. And he's with you in your circumstances. And the best place to be is always with God, even when it feels like, God, you're breaking me in pieces. And then a friend told me that she had been helped by reading through the Bible. And it reminded me that, okay, I haven't been reading the Bible. And I started at the beginning, as you do, at the beginning of a book. And then when I got to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, I died. You don't expect the person standing up here to tell you that, you know what, I failed Bible reading. The same thing, you don't expect the person who writes the devotions you read to tell you that, you know, I just skim over that part because it's a little bit hard to read all these numbers and names like Chris told us in the past week in one of his devotions. And, you know, it's a good thing that reading the Bible daily isn't what saves us. Well, more of my story. Last New Year's Day, the beginning of the year, was a Sunday, and our preacher happened to mention, being an Anglican, oh, Anglicans read the Old Testament every year. They read the New Testament twice in a year, and they read Psalms every month. And for some reason, that just got hold of me. And it kept with me so that by the end of the day, I had figured out how I was going to start reading the Bible again every day. And I worked out that if I read two Old Testament chapters, that should get me through in a year. If I read one New Testament chapter a day, that would get me through the New Testament twice, and five Psalms or a chapter of Proverbs every day. And I started in the middle of the Old Testament with the wisdom books. I didn't start at the beginning because I'd already failed at that. So here we are, like it's getting into eight months on, and I thought, oh, well, I wonder if you'd like to know how it's going. Not so much to know how I'm doing, but maybe there are things that I've discovered, encountered, will be an encouragement to you. I want to tell you a story. I heard it recently. It's about an anonymous rabbi. A man is talking to his rabbi, and he says, "Rabbi, why does the Torah tell us to put the holy words on our heart? Why doesn't it tell us to put the holy words in our heart?" And the rabbi's answer, "Well, it's like this. Our hearts are a little bit hard, and they're a little bit closed, and we can't get the word into our heart. So we put them on top of our heart, until one day our heart breaks and the words fall in." Oh, it's gone to sleep. Wake it up. Right. So God's word on our hearts, the truth, layer by layer. So here's a little video that I found. If you have an engineer's view of the world, you might find this interesting. When a road is built on the foundation, they put road base in layers, and over time, that road is going to stand up. Well, that's the aim, isn't it? There it goes, big sinkhole. Now, if the foundation of that road was your or my hard heart, and the road base was the Word of God that had been laid up, what we've just watched is we've watched the moment when that penny dropped, when it went from, the truth went from the head to the heart. Here's another picture, if you'd rather look at food. So if you can see the arrows, yeah, it's bigger for you. What I want you to see is that there is a layer, a hard layer, that is separating what's on top from what's beneath. And you could be really delicate and, you know, pick off the strawberry or pick off the truffle. But that's not, I think, how these are designed to be eaten, and it certainly not doesn't suit my illustration. You smash the hard layer, and all that good stuff falls into what's underneath. And that is that picture of our hearts breaking and God's word, God's truth, falling in. You never thought heartbreak could look so tasty, huh? So here's another illustration, example. A few years ago, my husband decided he wanted to take me to a very well-known church in Sydney. And it happened that the Sunday we went was their anniversary service, and their tradition, it appeared, was that leading up to the anniversary, the pastor would prayerfully consult with his mentors and to discern, God, what is your message for this congregation for the coming year? And his message, and then he would share it at the anniversary, and the message that day was that God was going to shake the church because he wanted to make them unshakable. Since that time, that church and that pastor have been in the news, and if you recognize, you know that there's been a lot of shaking going on, I think. And I'm not telling you because I'm inviting you to make comment or judgment about it. Let's graciously trust that these are brothers and sisters in Christ who desire to love and serve God and whose hearts are broken by what they're going through. They're being shaken, and what is falling in is the truth that has been laid up on their hearts and is making them, hopefully, unshakable in their faith that God is for them, that God is compassionate, that God is righteous and requires righteousness. But he also enables us to be righteous. And that is what he's done for us in his son, Jesus. So, happenstance. Kelly's got a nice story about happenstance. Happenstance, unplanned good events. They just happen. And you go, oh, well, that was cool. So here's some examples from my recent Bible reading. I happened to read Genesis 22 and Matthew 7 around the same time, and they both tell accounts of a father and his promised only son and the need for a sacrifice, the need for a death. And there, and it's an example of how the Old Testament foreshadows the events of the New Testament. The New Testament meaning is found prefigured in the Old Testament. I happened to read Genesis 44 and Proverbs 20, verse 2, at the same time. In the first one, we have Joseph being described as like Pharaoh to his brothers. And they are afraid of him. They don't want to go back to Egypt because they're afraid of his anger. And the proverb, interestingly, talks about the risk of provoking a king's anger. Wow, it just struck me. And then Exodus 40 and Hebrews 9. The Exodus passage talks about how when they built the when they erected the tabernacle and God moved in, that the glory of God was such that they could not enter that place. And only when God left the tabernacle and started to move, and they were to move and follow God, could they actually go in and pack it up and move on? And then Hebrews 9 talks about how Jesus is our high priest that purifies us so that we can go into God's presence to worship him and to serve him. A bit like what we sang in our first song. Again, they were, for me, connections that just happened, and they really stuck with me, and they help us to see ourselves. They help as we are, as God sees us. They help us to see God as he is, and as we need to see him. They help us to see sin and what it does in our lives, and the cost of redemption. A father, an only son, the need of a sacrifice, and the result of redemption, an open door to not only enter into the presence of God in the tabernacle, but enter into his throne room in heaven. The rewards. When we confess our sin, it allows God to start working in cleansing our hearts. And the measure of forgiveness that we use is the one that will be used for us. So if we choose a big measure, we get forgiveness measured to us largely. If we choose to be stingy, that's what we receive. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians at the beginning of the second chapter, he reminds his readers, but you were dead in your sin and transgression. You were walking in the way of the world. But God, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Jesus the Messiah. That is the hope that God wants to anchor us into. He wants us to know this so deeply, so unshakably, that we are, through the death of Jesus, purified from the consequences of sin in our lives, and we can boldly enter into God's presence. But as Karen so beautifully showed us, an anchor is only as secure as what it's connected to, or how it is connected. And in the temple, in the tabernacle, they went into the courtyard, into the inner room, which was called the holy place, and once a year, the high priest, the only person, went into the most holy presence of God. And this passage in Hebrews tells us that Jesus is in the presence of God, and he's holding that anchor for us. We need have no doubt about it. So heartbreak is inevitable. Whether we try and avoid it or not, it's going to happen. And we're such experts at avoiding pain. But it's not enough to know that our rage and anger and upset can turn to praise, but we need to know how to travel that path of recognizing who we are, who God is, the cost of sin, the cost of redemption, to find the benefit of redemption. And through daily reading, this is part of how we lay up layers of truth on our hearts in preparation for that day when heartbreak comes, so that it drops and we know it, and we know that we know it. So now it's your turn. If you don't have a habit of reading the Bible daily and you'd like to start one, then you might ask someone who's sitting nearby if you want some help. There are lots of people here who would be even more than happy to get you on a right path. If you're watching online and you want some help, you can go to the website and there's a contact form and you can send a request that way. And if you already have this habit, and you've had it for a long time, you might like to tell somebody about what it's meant to you over however long you've been reading God's Word regularly. Share your journey. Tell how God has used his Word in your life. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, you love us. You love us so much. And you have given us so much. And that includes your word and your spirit and your son. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us day by day to look to you, to let your word and the truth of your word build up on our lives, so that when hard times come, when our hearts break, that the truth would find a good resting place, and that we might taste and see how sweet it is to belong to you through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.